We spoke about a tent last week, a tent of meeting. This week, we're speaking about another tent, the tent of restoring presence. Now, this is a story about Israel, who lost the presence of God because they lost the ark. So it's a prophetic story about the presence of God being lost and then being restored. It was during the time of the changeover between the reign of Saul and the reign of David. David was not yet king, but Saul was going into battle presumptuously. And the Philistines, they took the ark into battle. Israel took the ark into battle. They weren't told by God to do it. It was not the thing you do. And the Philistines stole the ark. It didn't do them any good. In fact, it brought a lot of trouble upon them. Philistines had a god called Dagon. And they believed Dagon won them the battle. So they then had this other god of Israel. So they brought the ark and put it in front of Dagon so that the god of Israel would bow down before their god Dagon. Lo and behold, the next day when they went to visit, they saw that their god Dagon had fallen on his face, his head was cracked, and his arms and legs had fallen off. So they decided to take the ark back and get this trouble out of their territory. But we'll pick the story up with David, because David also had trouble with Philistines, but he asked God for direction. See, Philistines were always trouble to Israel. They were the ones that came and filled up the wells that Isaac had dug, the wells that would provide them with water. The word Philistine actually means a sojourning migrant. You could call it, you call the Philistines the illegal immigrants in those days. Actually, it's a cross between a migrating person and a trespasser. So the Philistines, as it were, trespassed. They took territory that was not theirs. That's a picture of what the devil does today. He is a trespasser. He robs people of the presence of God. It's all he can do. He comes to deceive and to kill and to destroy. But he blinds the minds. He takes away the understanding, the knowledge of the presence of God. But God restores it. I'm going to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 2. David said to all the congregation of Israel, "Let us send abroad to our brethren everywhere, that they may gather themselves unto us. Let us bring again the ark of the presence of our God to us, for we did not inquire of it in the days of Saul." God was waiting for the inquiring heart of David. We just heard a song called Grace. I was lost, and then you made me found. I was found. God waits for that inquiry. Today the world is lost. You think, well, what does it mean, lost? Is that the opposite to save? Yeah, well, it's the opposite to found. But it's also the opposite to being saved. People are lost today. in their stories, their minds, in all the things that are going on in their lives. That becomes their reality. And they're looking for something, looking for answers, but there's nothing to be found when you're lost and can't find what you're looking for. And that's where the Holy Spirit is tugging on the hearts and minds of people to be found. And as Paul said, that I might be found in him, being lost and found. And that is an experience of knowing that you're with God. Being lost is the experience of the soul, the delusional experience, that God is not present, that he's absent, that he has nothing to do with you. That is unreal. But our mind takes us into our own stories, our own anxieties, our own problems, and we have that sense of lostness. Then we come home. God hasn't moved, but we come back to God. And that's the restoring presence. And David had an inquiring heart. In the Old Testament, everything was a shadow, like there were symbols. The ark was just a box. But that's what God used to remind them that he was there. Today, we have within us, in our hearts, the presence of God. But in those days, there were physical things that were shadows of the substance, which is Christ. So what they had to do in the Old Testament, they had to move things around physically. So they had to go and get the presence of God in the ark and get it back. So David was moved by God to bring back the ark of God's presence and place it in a tent. And it was called the Tabernacle of David. As David continued to worship God during the time of the tent presence, he brought it back to Mount Zion. That's quite a story, I won't go into all of it, but he went out, got the ark, didn't know quite what to do with it, and after getting it wrong a couple of times, putting it on a horse and cart rather than carrying it the way it should have been carried, he got it to Mount Zion in a tent. Now, while that ark was in David's tent on Mount Zion, on another mountain was the tabernacle of Moses on Mount Gibeon. But it had no ark, it had no presence. So there's church going on without the presence of God. And at the same time, on another mountain, or in a quarry, people were cutting out stones for what was to be Solomon's temple, the final resting place of God, on another mountain, Mount Moriah. And that's where Solomon's temple was finally built, and Ian will tell you exactly where it is. So around about Jerusalem, there was, at this particular time, three mountains. Only one of them had the presence of God. Psalm 125, it says, as the mountains are around Jerusalem, so God is around his people. But the one place that was significant was the tent of the restoration of the presence of God. That act was prophetic of what is happening today in our time. I believe right now there are a people. There's a people that have inquired about the presence of God. God has said, if you've got an inquiring heart, tell you where you'll find it. On that mountain, Mount Zion, which speaks of the church. You've come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. That's where the presence is. And there's another mountain over there where there's a lot of sort of good activity, religious activity. It's fine. It's just the presence isn't there. And there's another mountain, which is where you're heading, which is when God, having worked on all of us as living stones, puts us together in the temple, the final resting place of God in the Old Testament. God is saying, I'm getting you guys together to be the place of my final habitation. But I believe right now we're at the time of the restoration of the tabernacle of David. I believe that's an experience that God's giving to his people. In the following scripture, James, that's the brother of Jesus, this is in the book of Acts, he refers to that event and he quotes a prophecy regarding the restoring of the presence and power of the Spirit that will come in the end days. He does this by pointing out that in this present age, God's purpose is to gather in the rest of humanity who seek after the Lord, all the Gentile nations who are called by my name. That's the quote from the book of Acts. And look at this scripture here in the book of Acts that James quotes from. He quotes from the book of Amos. He says this, Acts 15, 16 to 18. After this, I will return and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. The reason James said that was he was listening to the other apostles talking about this contention between the law and the people of Israel and the Gentiles, this new church that was flourishing, and they didn't know how to manage it. What do we teach the Gentiles? Do we have to teach them all the laws and the ordinances? And the apostles saying, no, but there must be some kind of guideline. What's happening? And James gets this prophetic word from God and he says, it's all about the presence of God. You don't have to teach them the law. These are things that we nor our fathers were even able to do. Why put that burden on this phenomenon of all of the nations now starting to come to the Lord Jesus? So he says this, I'll return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again its ruins and I'll set it up so that the rest of humanity might seek after the Lord, all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things, known unto God from eternity, are all his works. The restoring of God's presence relates to the regathering of Israel. So what I'm seeking to do today, and I'll submit it to you. I'm seeking to locate this prophetic event, or the meaning of it, the present day meaning, in today's hour, our age. I'm not trying to predict the time of the end of the world, but I believe we're in the times when God is restoring his presence. And it is related to the regathering of Israel. So in this scripture, the Apostle James is quoting Amos chapter 9, verses 8 to 12. Now let me read you now the original scripture that James was quoting from. The eyes of the Lord God are watching Israel, a sinful nation, and I'll pluck her up and scatter her across the world. Yet I've promised that this plucking up will not be permanent. For I've commanded that Israel be sifted out by the other nations as grain is sifted in a sieve. Yet not one true grain will be lost. But all those who say God will not touch us will die by the sword. Verse 11, then at that time I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which is now fallen down, and set it up. And Israel will occupy what is left of Edom out of all the nations that belong to me, for so says the Lord who has planted all. It's the same scripture in the book of Acts about the church that Amos is speaking about Israel, who are going to be scattered. I mean, it would have been an awe-inspiring prophecy for Israel, thinking, what's going to happen to us? We're going to be scattered, and yet it's not permanent. So the context of this scripture in the book of Amos shows us that the restoration of the tabernacle of David is linked to the prophesied scattering of the nation of Israel. That was even prophesied back in Deuteronomy. This is linked to what was prophesied by Isaiah, that Israel would not remain scattered, but be gathered again a second time. And the fullness of this regathering will coincide with the fullness of the Gentiles coming to God. So the regathering of Israel the second time, not the first time. We'll look at the first scattering in a moment, but this is the second scattering. And here we have it in Isaiah chapter 11. It will come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, Shinar, Hamath, from all the islands of the sea. The second regathering of Israel involves all the islands of the sea, the entire world. He will set up an ensign for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel, gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now that didn't happen in the first scattering of Israel, which was before Jesus came, of course. The second scattering was after Jesus. Well, that, put it that, this way, that was the final scattering. There were scatterings, but that was the final one. The nation of Israel, and this is talking about then the regathering a second time, was re-established in 1948. And it's remained and grown against impossible odds. In 1967, Israel won back their land in the Six-Day War. That was 50 years ago, a jubilee span ago. This is the second regathering of Israel in all of history. And as I said, there will be a second regathering, and is therefore the fulfilling of Isaiah's prophecy. The first scattering, or the first regathering, was recorded in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. It was prophesied that Israel would be scattered among the nations of the earth because of the people's disobedience. That was in Deuteronomy. And that began when the Assyrians carried the 10 tribes away into captivity. That's in the book of 2 Kings. The scattering continued when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, carried Judah away into captivity. And after the death of Jesus, the Jews were scattered amongst the Gentile nations. You'll see that in the book of Luke. So we have a story, a backdrop here, and right smack in the middle of that story is this tabernacle of David. It is the prophetic word from the book of Acts that James said the significant thing that's going to happen is, just like with Israel, as they lost the presence of God, as they got scattered, as they didn't know who they were and they were lost, they will be found, they'll be regathered. And at the second regathering, this is how then it comes, at that particular time, all the rest of humanity upon whom my name is called, they will come in as well and they'll be regathered. So we're kind of, the church is in lockstep with the regathering of Israel. The second regathering of Israel. In the time of David, the ark, the presence of God, was lost to the enemies of God, the Philistines, who had taken the ark in battle, and the glory departed. David yearned to have the ark returned. He wanted to dwell in the tent of the presence of God. Now, we don't know the days or the hours, but when the prophetic word sets so clearly, scatterings and regathering, and links the second regathering to the gathering together of all the nations of the Gentiles, it means that it's a work of God and not of us. It's something that God's planned and God's purpose. But what we do have is what Dave, what we can have is what David had. And we have that in our hearts, and that's an inquiry. That is saying, Lord, bring back your presence. Restore your presence to the church. Restore your presence to the world. Restore your presence to me. And that yearning, I believe, is in people's hearts today. I see it in the hearts of God's people. I see it in the hearts of people who don't even know God, but are looking for some sort of an inner life. They feel there's an emptiness within. They're looking for who they are, why they exist. And in these times of such conflict and chaos globally, more and more will be this sense of people feeling lost. So more and more the Holy Spirit will be able to answer the cry of people saying, who am I? Where am I? What's going on? What's real? What isn't real? In Acts chapter 3, verse 20, Peter prophesies this, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must hold back or receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. That's telling us that the Lord can't come back. He won't come back. He can do what he likes, but he will stick by his prophetic word. He won't come back until the time of the fulfilling of all the words spoken by the prophets. And the key word that links the coming of the Lord to the gathering, regathering of Israel the second time, the only second time in history, and the bringing in of that number until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, then all Israel will be saved. And remember, we spoke a couple of weeks ago about, from the book of Daniel, there'll be 3.5 years of tribulation. of trial for Israel. But there has to come the fullness of the nations that are non-Jews, the Gentiles, before that comes. And so the times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord, and when the prophetic words have been fulfilled, then he can return. All I can say is this: we're in the times of refreshing from the presence of God. I've said all of that to say this, but I wanted to set it in a prophetic frame, because God is going to work through his prophetic purpose. We're in the times of refreshing. Note the times of refreshing over the last century. Now, I didn't experience the first two from 1910 to 1917. That was the Pentecostal revival. I was just a bit late for that. That was a mighty outpouring of the Spirit. 1948 to 54, another mighty outpouring of the Spirit. That was Billy Graham, Catherine Kuhlman, Oral Roberts. That was the move of God that brought nations to Jesus. And then 1967 to 76, I remember that. That brought me to Jesus. They're all about 20 years apart. There are times of refreshing. 1994 to 1998. I remember that one. People falling all over the place in the presence of God. But it was simply a time of refreshing. But those particular years were also significant in Israel. 1917, the Balfour Declaration, that Israel would become get their own territory back. 1948 to 54, the Exodus out of Europe, and the nation of Israel was born. 1967 was the Six-Day War, when they got their land, and they lost it, lost a lot of it. They'll get it back. 1994 to 1998 was like a showers of refreshing. And that was the consolidation in the Middle East of what I believe is still happening now. The heart of the Middle Eastern nations against Israel to destroy them. But we know the end of the story. So we are living in a time when we can say, Lord, restore your presence. We've got a tent to build, the tent, the tabernacle of David. You can build it in your heart and know that you're in the times of God. I mean, we're due 20 years ago since all of that, the last one, a bit over 20, we're due for another one. And I'm inquiring. I was talking to a friend from overseas. I'll just close with this. And I used to go to the Northern Beaches, Terry Hills, lives in the States. Every now and again we see one another. It's been years since I've seen him, but we've been on the phone lately. And I've been talking to him. He said, I want to hear more about what you're saying about this being still thing and knowing God. And I said, well, I explained to him about the presence of God and our heart coming from the head to the heart. And he said, yeah, I get the what, that is the presence of God. And I get the why, because We need the presence of God. And it's been stolen from us because of all the other things in our heads, and we've got to get from our head into our heart where we can actually know this is the place to be. But he said, I don't know the how. What's the how? And I said, well, it's extremely simple, but it's extraordinarily difficult. I said, you just sit. I said, we're going to do it for 5 minutes. And straight away he said, you mean be still and know that I am God? I said, exactly. That's it. I said, there's an unreal world that will try and stop you from getting into that real world. And it is all the stuff that's happening in your life that's demanding attention. You'd better write that check. Did you get that receipt? Remember that you've got to do this tomorrow. Why did that person do that to me last week? I've had enough of it. I said, that's being robbed of the presence of God. That's being lost in the world. That is unreal. It's either gone or it's an imagination of what might happen in the future, but it's not real because now is real. Now you are here. Now you can be still and know that he is God. And that is the basis on which to build your future. And it can happen any moment at any time when you choose to inquire of the presence of God. I said, we're going to do it now for 5 minutes. And he said, so what do I do? I said, nothing. He said, I've got some things I'd like to ask the Lord. I said, don't. He said, but look, he said, I want to share things with God. I said, no, you've got all the rest of the day to do that. This 5 minutes, you give it to God and you sit and you cast down the imaginations and every high thing that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The word obedience means the attentive hearing, the attentive listening of Christ. We're going to do that for 5 minutes. And you'll be transformed. It will lay a platform for you to know something that's real and eternal rather than be lost in what's really unreal and is passing away. He says, oh, I can do that. So we did. For 5 minutes we sat. At the end of 5 minutes, I said, how did you go, right? He said, I got lost 15 times. I had to come back 15 times. And I said, that's great. And he said, what do you mean it's great? I said, that's 15 opportunities to restore the presence of God. We talked about the tabernacle. I said, that's restoration of the presence. I said, you're training your restoration muscle. I said, it doesn't matter how many times you might get lost. It is how many times do you get restored? Because the more often you experience the restoration, the more and more you are creating that space within your heart to contain the breadth and length and depth and height of the knowledge of God so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I said, that's where you're heading. And he said, right, let's go. I'm going to talk to him again and subscribe next week. I don't mind if I sit for a length of time in the presence of God and go out and in 20 times, 50 times, as long as I come back. Because then through the rest of the day, there is a consciousness that when all of a sudden I think I'm fuzzy in the head, I'm lost, there's too much happening and I've got to focus and where are you, Lord? There's that little signal that says, he hasn't gone, remember, and it's easier to come back. You're training the restoring of the tabernacle of David. This is the tent that James said, this is what's going to be restored in the last days. It's not just the tent of meeting. It is the tent of taking out of Satan's hand what he has tried to trespass from you, which is the very consciousness, the awareness, the faith, that you are with God, he's with you, and he's at work on your behalf to bring all things together for good. And that is the grace of God. By faith, it says in Romans 5, we have access into this grace where we stand and rejoice with hope and expectation that the manifestation of God, he's going to be revealed even through tribulation that will work patience and on it goes. But that is the journey for God's people today, is to rebuild your tent of the restoring of the presence. Rebuild David's tabernacle, because it's God's plan, it's his purpose. And don't feel a failure if it seems hard, because it is. But rejoice that the Holy Spirit's with you. We thank you, Lord, for rebuilding in us the tent of David, the tent of the restoration of your presence. Amen.